Hi there, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of the Fontacat Junction Real Talk. And I am ecstatic to have you join us for this fantastic episode. As usual, I've got my usual crooners on my right hand side at the studio today. The delectable Anna Laika and the strong and chested one. Resh. What's good, peeps?
I told you, if people will be looking out, if people are looking out for me, people don't know me, they are looking out for me, they are going to be looking at, okay, where is the chest?
Where is the chest? Yeah, that's why I'm always laughing when I feel like that introduction I just stuck. Like, it started like a joke, but now I like the ring to it. It's a very nice ring to it, a strong and chested one. Yeah. Resh, how you guys doing?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Was your week eventful? Anything eventful happened this week?
We talked about it last week. The year is running out fast. It was just like yesterday. It was December 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, night now, right?
Yeah. No.
Is it night?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's beginning to look like Christmas. Everywhere you go.
Your favorite month.
my favorite time of the year. Yeah. I'm booked and busy this period. You can't see me, guys, in case you're looking for me.
Despite everything, I'm wishing everybody a very Merry Christmas in advance. You know, don't worry, you're going to have a very good Christmas, regardless of what Nigeria has shown you. You're going to have
or is about
good.
To show you.
Yeah. Because Shege cannot be stopped.
Can only be suspended. Can it go any worse than what it is?
No, but I always told you, Resh. Come on. There's no such thing as can it get. It can always get worse. I mean, that's my philosophy of life.
That's sad, really. That's sad. You know, we're talking about during the Buhari era, we're saying, can it get any worse? Now, dollar is exchanging for. I was going to buy dollar.
Yeah.
That was, I think, in the course of the week, 1,200 naira.
Yeah.
1,200 naira.
It's bonkers, to be honest.
It's ridiculous, really. Yeah. I mean, it's sad, really. Yeah, but I mean, let me not get on that note. I need to get two things off my chest.
Ah, it's been a while since you got things off your chest. I'm going to think that your chest was getting flat, Resh, because you only carried a lot of things in your chest before.
This has become a therapy session. Let's go. Let's hear what you have to say.
That's why we're here.
What has the country done to you now?
That's why we're here. Good. We're here to, you know, help you get things off your chest.
Yeah, first off, I mean, on a good note, I mean, I'm giving a shout to a friend, that would be Debo. You know, our film premiered on Netflix. I think she has like two films on Netflix now.
So what do you call her name? That would be what?
That would be Debo.
Debo.
Yeah.
D-I-B-O?
Yeah, D-I-B-O-R.
B-O-R.
Yeah, B-O-R. Yeah.
Shout out to you, that would be Debo.
Blood Vessel, that's the title of the film. You guys should go check it out. You guys go watch it. She played Oni. Yeah, Oni in the film.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, on Netflix. That's just great. Came out. Yeah,
all right, cool.
Just came out. Yeah, cool. So shout out to Adaobi. Yeah, for that. Yeah, and the second one. And that is I was scrolling through. I mean, Facebook. You know, and I saw a post on. I mean, Rant. I didn't know that was Rant.
Rant HQ.
I don't know if you know Rant.
Yeah, Rant HQ.
Used to be very chaotic in that place. I joined, I don't even know how I joined anyway, but I joined later on. But the post that I saw today was kind of, I mean, it was more of the response that I got from it that was kind of like, I mean, I was just like, why do Nigerians think like this? The lady called the Uber and she was asking the Uber if there was AC. Come and see the way people were going after her. Like, do you have AC in your house? Is it not fun that you people use? Why are you asking for AC and stuff like that? And
I'm
like,
SMH.
I mean, do you guys really understand the level of depravity that we're at right now?
No, like, true. Let me understand what you're saying. So a lady like hailed the cab.
Yeah.
And she was asking the driver.
She was asking the driver if the AC is working.
In chats before she got into the cab, yeah?
Okay,
so who's not insulting her?
It was the people
that saw the chat.
Yeah, that saw the chat. She put it up.
Oh, she posted the chat.
Yeah. Actually, what happened was the Uber driver was very disrespectful. The Uber driver was like that. Are you, what's it called? Are you chicken that I need to freeze up in my car? You know, and that was what the driver said. Like, you know, are you a chicken that I need to freeze up in my car? Why are you asking for AC? And the guy canceled the trip. And people were now commenting and saying like, yes, good for you. You know, do you have AC in your house? It's not fun that you people use and all and everything. And I'm like, are these actually humans? Like, you know, are they really humans talking like this and all? I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know.
Okay. First things first. Was it actually Uber? Was it Bolt?
It was Uber.
Because there are two levels of, you know, our riders. Yeah, they have two categories of stupidity reigning in those rides. Okay, but funny enough, it's actually silly to me hearing what people have to say, because first things first, when you're paying for a ride, an Uber ride, you're not entering down for. Right, you're not paying 200 naira.
Yeah,
you're not paying 500. You're most likely paying, with the hike in prices right now, a minimum of probably 4,000 naira or 3,500 to your destination. And one of the reasons why we take such rides is to be comfortable, right? So if I want to be comfortable, and one of the things you offer is AC. And the problem is, I don't even blame her for asking, because I've been in like a couple rides where when I got there, it's giving kabu kabu. It's giving, engine is sounding like it's about to break down. And obviously the guy has to choose between us riding to our destination and turning on the AC. Pick your poison,
God.
And unfortunately for you, you can't just end the ride because you just waited probably 15 to 20 minutes to get that ride there and you're in a hurry already. So you just have to now on the, when they wind down now, then the breeze, probably the hair you just finished spending so much to set. Your hair is already looking,
breeze go come,
you know,
blow,
breeze go
finish.
On, blow, scatter everything, finish. Like that, I can't look like Yamatanga by the time you get to your destination. Like, that is literally why I don't want to take the down for in the first place. I was looking all great and all when I got to the office, but unfortunately, I spent almost like 20 minutes trying to get a ride from Marina down here. And since I couldn't get it, I had to enter down for. But before I got down here, was I got to my junction like this, or more, my hair was already looking a full on mess. Unfortunately, I didn't have hair tie. Right, but that's one thing I know I have to, because obviously how much did I pay? It's not just 500 naira, you know. So I don't get why people act like that. To me, she was actually very sensible to ask, because funny enough, we've gotten to a place where we even have to ask the Uber driver, are you going to be okay with taking card trip? Because you can wait 20 minutes, then those insolent drivers will now be like,
cash your card.
And funny enough, you had the option to have actually done, you know, obviously card or any one of the options at that point in time. But, you know, you just chose card because it's quite easy. And the next thing is, I can't do cash. I haven't bought for this. I won't take consign me, sir.
Because
I don't understand. You know, so the thing is always very silly to me, but it's something you have to even be proactive to ask, because if you wait for them, I've seen someone that after waiting for it was like, I'm not going. Then the next thing is, cancel the trip so we can do offline. Hello? Like, do you understand? So those people just go, they just do one of the most silly things, that it's so disorganized, you know? So to me, I feel like it's just best first to even ask right now, sir, are you okay? It's a card, reminder, it's a card trip, are you on your way? You understand? That kind of thing. And me too, for like a couple months after like those couple incidents I had, I literally had to keep on asking them, like, do you have AC? Is your AC working? Because the first thing I do when I enter a car, turn on the AC. It's as simple as that. Because I'm not here for the heat from outside. Why did I order the ride? So to me, I get where people are coming from. Most likely they are coming from a place of poverty mindset. Because
you see,
why are you telling me that am I a chicken or am I this? Did I tell you to freeze up this? Even funny enough, most cars even function better when the AC is on rather than winding down.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is that, exactly, the truth of the matter is that they don't know that actually you're not wasting any fuel for having your AC on. There is no fuel that you're wasting at all.
Exactly.
You know? And I don't know, really, it's just quite sad. And one of the things that, I mean, we need to do is, I mean, have the regulatory bodies, the regulatory, organization in Nigeria, get on these guys. I mean, and at least if you're going to be paying, you know, for that service, get your, I mean, money's worth for it. You know, I know. I mean, I was in Abuja and I called Uber. you know, and all my friend was with me. And the Uber came only to tell me, like, you know, there is no AC. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not taking, you know. My friend was like, no, that she just take it now. She means just that. I said, I'm not. But because you needed to have told me before you came, before you drove down here, that you didn't have AC. Now I'm going to have to contend with you not having AC or having AC before I join the ride.
I'm not saying I'm all right.
And you see this, to go. You see this. I think it's interesting ridiculous. You said Abuja, because I was going to say that you see this Lagos that we are in. We need to be very careful where we are going.
Yeah.
Because we are getting to a point where value for money is no longer becoming a thing of reality anymore.
Definitely.
Mm.
In Lagos today, you have service providers, you have contractors, whatever you call it, people who offer services or goods and services, they charge you so much money. And then in your mind, you expect that because of the cost or the price for what you are paying, there's a certain level of quality you get in return.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, that used to be a granted. Say, for example, if I'm going to enter a cab and pay 4,000 naira before, pre-Buhari, let me say pre-Buhari, no shades to Buhari, but pre-Buhari's era. If I was going to pay, if I was going to pay 4K for an Uber ride, you damn near well, you're going to turn on your AC. In fact, discussing AC is not a conversation.
Yeah.
The conversation is, are you going to give me ice cream and chewing gum?
Or sweets.
In your car?
Yeah.
Are you going to give me a very nice radio playing some nice tunes? Are you going to give me some, you know, value add that makes me feel like I see that 4K is money well spent?
Yeah.
To not get to a point where we're now dragging whether Uber or Bolt rider has AC or not in his car.
Yeah.
And then on the trip, I'm seeing 5.7 to 6.5 as a price range. That is absolutely ridiculous. People are paying 6,000 naira and having to contend with whether your vehicle has the AC working or not.
Mm-hmm.
No. Something has to be done
and
about
you,
that.
You can understand the heat wave, right?
We're getting to the dry season. Obviously, it's going to get hot.
It won't even be funny.
And another thing is that even these ride hailing companies like Uber and Bolt, their standards have dropped so badly.
That's definitely what I wanted to say. That's
so badly.
It's like, getting glorified.
What are they even doing?
My car had an issue some days back, so I had to hail a cab to go to work and back. I entered one, I don't want to call the company, but it's one of the two major ride hailing cabs. I entered one of their rides, and when the guy started moving, my prayer point was that this car should not just disassemble in different pieces as it's going on the road. There was no amount of clanking sound I was not hearing as this guy's car was going. First with this one, even honestly for me, I don't come the talk say maybe make a recommend make the guy off in ACO because this one way
because it's already at night.
I'm just getting clanking clank in the car. I'm hearing all kind of metals clanging as the car is moving. I'm like, how is this contraption still even moving? And it's like a few years ago, such cars will never pass the test. For any of these riding cabs. But now we have cars that AC is not even working.
Yeah.
And the drivers are rude on top.
Oh,
they insult you.
And
if you try and report, there's nothing that can be done. It's like I see they're a cartel.
The cars
now
are even very dirty, unkept. There was even one where I got into the cab and the guy had all of his junk at the back seats, including, I most likely, obviously, he's going to work from there or something. But the place was, you know, when you have this sweat, because obviously maybe you went to the gym or something like that. And literally was like, oh, sorry about that. Let me move this to the window.
Well, the one I entered recently, the guy they chop bread and akara for my front.
I was like, yo.
The guy they chop bread and akara for my front like this after they drive. He never send me casually. He just slap the akara inside bread, they chop and as they drive.
And then he's
swearing at all the riders beside. All the downfall is cursing all of them on the road.
I want to drag you into the swear. And obviously you're like, oh guy, you're at fault.
You're wild, I said.
There was one that took me. He was eating. And you know the sound of that what's it called? That sound.
When you're chewing, right?
Well.
Oh, Lord.
What's it called? The food was getting into my, because I was eating. Man, I was like, God, man, what type of, it's bad. Bad customer service.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And I think Uber needs to do something about it, really.
Oh, God.
I think when they come to to when they come to the Nigerian culture,
all of them,
there is a way they kind of adapt.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what it is.
I mean, I told you about
anything goes mindset.
I told you about
that's what's happening right now.
One person that came to us, I mean, what's it called, set up a business in Nigeria. You know, he was from the US, came to set up a business in Nigeria, and the guy was kind of like looking for, I mean, how to, I mean, what's it called, when it comes to package, you know, remuneration, you know, and stuff like
okay.
that. And it was like, okay, fine. He was looking at it from, he was benchmarking it with the dollars, you know. So it was like, okay, this is what these guys will be worth. That no, it was Nigerians. They were sending the person.
No,
the
no,
HR.
No.
The HR. I was like, ah, huh, a while for you. You are breaking it down in dollars. I beg you, give them so. They just made everybody, you know. And the guy was not like, oh, okay, so that's how we roll. Okay. So the guy was now making more money for himself. Removed everybody's, what's it called, markup. He was making more money for himself as a CEO. And then everybody like, Chibi, that's what you said you want, you know, and all.
Gotcha.
And so the HR, they didn't know that they were actually, I mean, doing harm.
To
not just to themselves,
to
not just to the people that they staff, but to themselves as
yeah.
well. Really, it's ridiculous. It's
so
ridiculous.
Really, I feel like hearing what the Nigerians have to say on that post is just very funny to me.
Yeah.
Because we are the architect of our own issues, of our own problems.
No doubt.
And we are the ones that impede any improvement
any
in
growth.
Any sector.
Yeah. Any
really.
Growth.
Because when you hear such a thing, what you would most likely be saying, ah, Oga, after spending this much money, why wouldn't your AC work?
You
all of a sudden, you go, most likely because it's the lady that posted it,
do
like,
get,
rubbish is problematic. Go and
you
sit
get,
down.
They
you're
now insulting her again.
Do you even have AC? Even if I don't have AC in my house.
I'm paying for it, right?
If I'm paying for that service, I don't plan on staying under the heat with the rest of the masses.
All the people
that are paying 200 naira or 500 naira to get to
all the people that are, what's it called, that are on that lady. All of you need to go and check your head. Your head is not
yeah,
correct.
Some screws are loose, for
yeah,
real.
You have loose screw in your head. You don't even understand what it means to have, what's to give good customer service. So for
yeah.
you to have even spoken to that lady at all in any way, yes, your head is not on your
I
head.
I mean, as in, there's a huge difference. You know, a lot of times when most of us go out, we either want to go to simple restaurants like Chicken Republic that are most likely today's Buka. Right. And then if we go to some more fancy restaurants that most likely their minimum spend is about 150,000 naira.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not just going there to pay for the food. You are paying for the experience itself. And that is literally what we are doing. If you're taking a ride, not just destination to the next stop, you're most likely paying for the experience. And what is the experience you're going to offer me if you can't even offer me the least level of comfort, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's not even something we should even discuss. Really.
And I'm going to have to call out while we're on the topic, some of our resorts in Nigeria and Lagos in particular. I don't name names. Some particular resorts in Ibeju area and Aja area that are charging 170,000 per night. And then when we entered, this mosquito inside the room. We're seeing rats.
Oh, the electricity is not working.
Light is doing off and on. And you are charging 170. You are forming resorts.
No.
Everywhere is smelling like gutter because you don't know how to treat the water around the resort. Please, you guys need to fix up.
No, Larry.
Ain't nobody paying that much money for that kind of nonsense.
No, I think you're missing it. They're most likely trying to connect you with nature.
You don't connect me. You don't not kill me with mosquito.
No, you pay.
You don't kill me with mosquito.
Just
some,
go to your village.
Some of them tell you they have golf club. Now grass, food, the golf club. You, if you knock that ball like this, you no go roll.
Yeah, what we need to
you guys need to
yeah.
step up, man.
Yeah,
you're not charging money and then no value for money.
Is it SOA? Yeah.
That's the standard organization in Nigeria. No, I think it's the Consumer Protection Agency, CPA. Agency.
It is CPA.
Yeah.
SOA.
But I think those guys deal more with food,
yeah.
maybe edible things and things you apply to your body like cream. But in terms of services, I don't know if we have an agency that oversees, you know, consumer rights for services.
Yeah.
Maybe we have something for telcos and all that. But in terms of like hotels,
those
restaurants.
I think those are what the labor is supposed to be about, isn't it?
Labor Congress.
Yeah, they are supposed to have, you know, like, what's it called, arms that deals with stuff like that, you know, and all.
I don't know, but in general, and Nigerians, because they don't know their rights, you know, that's why somebody is thinking you can pay for Uber and then the Uber will not on AC for you
and they will be abusing
and you'll be fine.
Yes,
you should be able to turn down places like that. Anybody that wants to take you on a ride and the AC is not working, that is minimum. There's something you call it like a barest minimum. if you can't meet the barest minimum, please pack up the vehicle and go and look for something
else to do. You should go and paint it. Yeah. Paint it yellow and red.
Yeah, yeah. Come to Kabu Kabu. You don't have any business operating a ride hailing service and your vehicle is at that kind of level where you can't even use the air conditioning.
It's not that bad. I'm sure like now, the way the lady is calling out these guys, right, it will get to a point where would most likely be asking, most likely the AC is working, but probably the winders are not working. And then we'll be like, rain is falling, or got wind up. You will say, no, winder is not working. If you
nylon.
Do not, exactly. Because I've entered normal downfall way. The Oga, they give us nylon, maybe we use and cover ourselves, cover you know, that kind of thing. So it will get to that part.
Yeah, it will get to that point. Yeah, it will. If you don't hold those standards, it will continue
to fall. The standard just gets to drop lower and lower and lower. So really, we've already crashed when it comes to standards.
I mean, no hate to you if you listen to this right now and you are, you know, you operate a Bolt or Uber your service. No hate to you. We're just saying, you need to do the needful.
No, the thing with this is that some people think that they are going through more, and what they are going through is more than everybody else.
Exactly.
Everybody's going
as much as you are going through.
So don't carry your own on your head and use that to inconvenience other people. That's ridiculous.
I agree.
Yeah.
100.
That's true.
Moving on to the next topic. This one is interesting. I saw this on Twitter. I mean, on X. I thought it was quite funny. A young lady called Jenny Darling. Not even sure that's her real name. But anyways. Jenny Darling, 23-year-old lady from Bishopsgate, London. She's revealed some interesting non-negotiables as regards pregnancy and childbirth. So she's essentially said, she said she won't sacrifice her body to give birth to a child unless she gets an annual allowance of £250,000. And for her, that's essentially the cost for her allowing our body to go through the process of incubating a child and bringing it forth. She has some other interesting demands, which includes a baby moon abroad. So just after giving birth, the father of the child will sponsor a trip to some nice location for a period to recuperate. Also, she wants a douala and a housekeeper for the first 6 months postpartum, and cleaners that will be replaced every week after the 6 month period. Essentially, what she's trying to say is that for me to go through the stress of having a child, a partner needs to be able to compensate her, you know, very, very convincingly. And people have had some very interesting reactions to that. Some people have said, all of this nonsense she's talked about, some women are going to do this for free, just for the joy of being able to hold their babies in their hands and kiss the baby. She's a lunatic. I mean, it goes both ways. People can have different opinions. To me, I don't quite agree with, you know, what our requirements are. But I do think that, you know, women should, I don't have anything against push gifts, to be honest. You know, putting some things out there to make your woman feel good after going through 9 months of what can be hell, to be honest. But what do you guys think in terms of this particular lady, Jenny Darling's request, and just the idea in general that when a woman has a child, you know, she needs to be compensated for that?
She's truly a darling.
She's a soft babe, soft girl.
To me, I feel like I agree with her, and probably I'll have to explain why. And for our request, it all depends on you as a person and what your own requirements are. You know, the thing is, a lot of these things that she's asking for, like a douala and stuff like that, are actually needed. Noms.
What's a douala, by the way?
It's like a person that provides you support financially, I mean, physically and emotionally, before, during, and after birth. Right. They is that not like sometimes, to be even the dweller can also help.
Is that not supposed to be the husband?
It's more like the person can even also aid, even in the, if you want to do, if you want to do home delivery too, for instance. Okay. It's like a support system, really. And the thing is, a lot of people, the problem we've had today, I mean, in the past time, is the fact that so many people don't understand the things that goes into giving birth. A lot of things were just like pushed under the rug and made it look so easy. Until people start pouring out the side effects. That list is long, man. There are so many things. Either somebody's lower part stops working normally anymore. Mm-hmm. You get some unnecessary tears. You lose control of your bowel for years. You most likely even have partial blindness, full blindness. You die. Literally, there are so many things that goes into giving birth, and the side effects are crazy, right? And the problem is, even when people understand what goes into giving birth at the point of birth, people forget postpartum, which is one of the most crucial areas where a lot of the time you see so many people put more support for the baby and forget the mother. And the fact that the mother also has to be there for the baby, right? But everyone is already putting so much attention on the baby, they forget the health of the mother. And the thing is, when you're talking about postpartum, there are so many things that goes into it. It's not just the physical. There are so many hormonal imbalances. Some people go near psychosis. Postpartum depression are things that were taken lightly. It's until now we are trying to shine more light into it. So the thing is, there are so many things. There are so many. And in short, see, how will I even put it? The only good thing that comes out of giving birth is most likely just in the smile of the baby. Really?
Everything else is...
And then when the baby starts crying, I don't even know at that point in time. Because really, just the idea of having a child, that's literally it. And bringing a child into the world. And yeah, some people would say, I see some mothers that were like, all these things that you are saying, once you see the smile of your baby and you know, you welcome your child, all these things would, not be everything smiley. If she just a fall out for my, sorry for the TMI, but like, I mean, if I lose my bowel movement, the baby smile might be nice to see, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm most likely partially blind. So I mean, there are so many things that I feel like it's just a gesture.
Let me ask though, how many women actually have this kind of experiences?
A whole lot. So many side effects range from in severity. And even, if you go on social media, how many ladies have died from childbirth this year, just in Nigeria? It's a large amount too.
Yeah.
It's a large amount, really. A lot of people, we lose a lot of women in childbirth, and that's even the most fatal of them. So there are so many things that people just push under the rug, and you know, you don't want to be the person that is complaining, right? But you need to at least make sure people make informed decisions. That's the reason why a lot of people are not even psyched about giving birth, because it's looking like it's more side effects than actual joy, you know. But the thing is, if today you want to give look for a surrogate to give birth to a child, I've seen in Nigeria, I think the minimum is like 1 million naira or so that you pay to someone to give birth. Yeah, and
that's cheap now.
That's what I said, minimum. And they'll also pay you even after. They'll also pay for your care and everything. This is the cash that's and everything.
Ridiculous.
So
1 million.
It's a lot. Exactly. It's a lot of what do I put? It's a lot of sacrifice with small amount of money. So it all depends. See, the truth is, you can always get someone that will do these things for free. But guess what? If you see your wife, or if you see the mother of your child has gone through so much, are you telling me that your own mind, you won't just be like, no, I need to compensate? Even if you can't, obviously, there's nothing in this world you can do that can actually show gratitude to this woman for pushing your baby. All you can do is gestures. And nobody's saying you should go beyond your pocket. That's why I said that to me. It's poverty that is screaming. If the lady is within your bracket, you will feel like 250,000 pounds is small. Now, someone else might not. And the reason why she's saying this is because some people, some men.
250,000 pounds.
No, it's small to some people, actually. Yes, it is. I've seen. Do you know how many push presents I've seen online?
That's some people's.
People buy brand new Ferrari for their Addison as a push present.
How many people do that?
I'm serious.
How many people do that?
You don't get what I'm saying. I've seen at least in the past 2 weeks.
I just wanted to finish then.
I've most likely seen like 10 people.
I'll give you my.
That have actually gotten push presents. Okay. No, not just Ferrari. There are other different cars. Like, do you understand?
Okay,
like, they give them push presents. They give them, they make it so lavish because they want to celebrate the mother herself. You know? So the thing to me is, it all depends on what you can afford. And the reason why she just came online and said what she wanted is like, hey, before you come and approach her, right? No her stance. If it is not within your bracket, why you they shout? Move on and find person where you feel give 20,000 naira to as present. No, I mean, and the lady will be like, my word and my... And
I
my,
hear you, you know? I hear you. My only question, and I'll let Resh respond a bit. My only question is, at what point do we look at it and say, oh, this thing is a nice to do for a woman? And then at what point should we look at it and say there's an entitlement attached to it? The way this lady has gone about it, it looks like there's a level of entitlement attached to it, where she's saying, oh, for me to be able to have it, give it to a child, it's like, I'm giving you my body. Mm-hmm. But bro, that child is yours. I don't know the day as well. You're the mother of that child. So
yeah.
There's a part of it that has to do with you owning that child. So why are you going to make it seem like as if you are renting your body and then you're collecting some gifts and financial rewards in return?
I mean, the mommy makeover is actually very important. It's very
the
important.
Mommy
the mommy makeover she mentioned, which is
that?
Like after you give birth and everything, you know, there are so many things
she
that
was,
get
she
loose.
Has to get her bud back.
You know, you need to rearrange the body back. Exactly.
Surgically.
The thing is that if you don't even rearrange the body, I've heard so many horror stories of men in delivery rooms, you know, so many things they say that just disgust you. And then when you see them come outside, they're like, I don't like a stretch mark. It's disturbing me. It's affecting my soul.
Mm.
You know, those kind of things. So now it's not the one that's now, because a lot of times, even after you did the mom makeover, it still takes so long for your body to readjust back to normal, if ever normal is achieved. You know, so to me, I still feel there are some things here to me. It sounds really big because me, if someone gives me 250,000 naira in this economy, Nigeria, you know, pounds. And this thing, there's kind of like, oh, that's a large amount of money. Yeah. But in some places, for instance, and some people, with the kind of caliber of people she most likely relates with, most likely it is chicken change. So really, it's a talking of appreciation. I feel like if I stand out and to me, obviously, what she said, our own requirements, mine may not reach that level. But if I should give birth to a baby, after all the side effects, if I choose to give birth to a baby, I ain't come empty-handed with no no. Abana, you ya take the child, be going. Bye bye. I'll see the smile from afar.
Yeah,
sorry,
I mean,
I'm just joking.
You're not joking.
Yeah. I think the lady has commercialized. Having the child. She commercialized it already, and that's already a subjective, you know, approach to deploy really, or to, I mean, to do really, and that for me, I think she has not seen life, you know. And she would have to really experience
we just called the Zuba guys for poverty mindset.
She has not seen life and then she would have to really experience life to understand what that means really. 250,000 pounds is a lot of money. It doesn't even matter if you're rich or if you are not rich and all. It's a lot of money, you know, and you can imagine maybe somebody that is maybe like, I mean, has a good net worth, you know, and you approach this person for love sake and all. I don't really think that her putting that out, you know, as a demand, it looks good on her really, you know, because if somebody really cares for, I mean, who they love, you know, it's not something that they demand. It's just a natural thing that they will do. go through the wall. You know,
it's possible that she's bereft of love, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so if she was a partner that she loved a lot, she wouldn't be putting that out.
Yeah, seriously.
And if she was with a partner and she didn't state what she wants, then no, she's now sobbing after giving birth. And she's all sulky and she doesn't have the support she needs.
It's not a question of someone that you're.
No, you always, most times these days, men will shout, you guys are not telling us what you actually want. It's so hard to understand women. But when the woman comes online now and tells you, yo, this is what I want, spelt in English, that is comprehensible. Now,
manner of approach is important.
Yeah, she's
but now she most likely may not even be in a relationship, but she's just giving a disclaimer.
That's the point I'm making now. That's the point I'm making.
But now she's giving a disclaimer, so don't come next to her if you're not ready to offer that now. Let's not waste on what is your favorite color.
Number one, she's 23.
True.
She still has a lot of miles to cover.
People used to get married at 24.
Well, she still has a lot of miles to cover. You know, I mean, our age may not necessarily matter, but the way she's talking, it doesn't look like she's mature. You know, she has a lot of miles to cover.
Because she's specified.
I'm inclined to agree, to be honest.
I'm saying the truth, really, because for me, it is more about the mutualness, if there's any English, like mutual feelings and the mutual, you know, I mean connection that you have with the person, you know. And that already would settle a lot of, you know, I mean, this is what I want or this is what I don't want. There are some things that, I mean, you guys will have to sit down and even talk about, really. But putting it out there and saying any man that will come and meet me, she'll be ready to give me £250,000 and all that. She should go and make £250,000. She should go and make it now. And you're up to the task. Yeah. And then the guy that's coming for you will say, okay, fine, I need to kind of up my game as well. You know, this is what I'm going to have to give and all. She should go and make it first. Let's know how much she's making, you know, before she will come and start making demands, you know, and all. So for me, I think there are some things that you don't, you talked about how many women come out and say they've gone through this, they've gone through that. I've seen countless women, you know, that love their kids, that love having children.
Did they tell you the truth about what they went through? Did they tell you how they felt when they looked in the mirror and they felt disgusted by themselves, most likely?
But what they always say is that
they wouldn't.
Don't forget that these people
are not. And that's the funny thing about it. You don't know. No, you don't get. Nobody's saying that. It's not just the money.
They are not Kim Kardashian too.
It's not just about.
Kim Kardashian is the one that will remove her waist.
Because unfortunately, it's the men that will still stay and say, this woman, body's not budding like it used to. I'm stepping out. You know, even she mentioned something about prenuptials or something like that. And the reason why she's asking is most likely because most times a lot of people backtrack on whatever agreement.
You might have an agreement. You guys understand together. These are the things that you
nobody's saying that you are supposed to go online and start broadcasting what you want. I'm stating the facts in the statement and a requirement per se. If within a relationship, it is not that bogus. Whether the amount of money she stated is different from what you would have stated, but what she has stated to be given to her isn't even beyond. It's something that a lot of times men will say, oh no, I didn't know what to have gotten her. Most likely flowers or something like that. While there are some people out there, that some men that are very proactive and they know how to think these things through, and they're like, you know what, I want to appreciate my wife, let me get her a car to make sure it's easy for her when she's moving around, or let me get her this, let me take her on a vacation, let her relax and everything.
All these things,
but some
all
people
these
would not know
not,
that right so you would
not,
have to tell them. And the truth about the matter is
they're not far-fetched.
Okay, really,
they are not stuff. No, seriously, they are not stuff that is because really what we're talking about here is what's it called, when you guys are into yourselves, you guys what's it called, I mean, because there's going to be the courting stage, there's going to be the, you know, I'm getting to know stage and all and everything. You will know the person that you are getting with now before you kind of like, you know, say, okay, we're now going a step further.
You see the cover of the person you're being with, you don't see the inside. But the thing, I get what you're trying to say, but what I'm still saying is that a lot of the times men are not actually trying. They will just want you to be the one to start stating what you want at this point, which is why she is stating it out. Although the mode at which she's declaring it, I may not 100% agree. It's most likely for shock factor. But the truth about the matter is, for me, all those things getting the dweller, getting a mom makeover, making sure there's an agreement so you don't come outside and then start telling me, and making sure she's married to the person. So it's not a matter of I'm baby mama. Number two, I'm begging you to give me £100 per week for maintenance of the kid.
Okay,
she's fine.
So £250,000 to Naira is $252 million.
The person she wants to marry, nobody say the person
now,
in Nigeria.
Wait now, $252 million. 252 million, 58,000 naira.
Yeah.
that's what that means.
The person she's marrying is not saying this thing now. Is she a Nigerian?
But that's what I'm saying.
But the purchasing parity is the same now.
The equivalent here, that's what I'm saying.
It's a big deal abroad.
I know it's a big deal, but it's not 250,000 naira.
Just let's even say you're in the UK. You know what I mean? Someone to transfer 250,000 pounds to cash.
Yes. But did you hear what I said? It is still not equivalent to 250 million naira here in Nigeria. That's just a fact.
It is. It is.
It's even worth more.
That's what it is.
It's probably worth more.
It's even more than that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Right. If I bring 250,000 pounds to Nigeria.
If you bring 250,000
pounds, I'll buy out. You didn't hear what I said. But will you buy out with 250K over there? That's what I'm saying.
No, that's the point. So it's worth more.
It's not the same. It's worth more here in Nigeria. She's not a Nigerian.
Buy property with that. As a matter of fact, it's even more.
Buy property of 250,000.
That's what I'm saying now. In Nigeria, yes.
I'm not talking about Nigeria. Oh, God, the person is abroad. Check people know they hear what I'm talking.
No, I'm telling you, you can buy property. I mean, with that money.
I know that. It's as if I'm speaking.
Okay, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. You are saying abroad.
I'm talking about abroad. Okay, so look at it now. I'm abroad.
True.
I'm asking somebody to give me 200,000 pounds. I am not in Nigeria, Oga. The 250,000 pounds, will you buy a house there?
Yes, no.
Now, that's what I'm saying. The quality of the house there and here is two different things, right?
I agree.
Obviously. So now I'm saying that the money is not the same. 250K here is top 1%. 250K there is not top 1%. Do you understand? So I get what you are saying. It's a top earner's money, but it's not top 1%.
Who told you it's not top 1%?
Okay, now. All right.
Are you whining yourself?
Okay.
Do you know the minimum wage? Do you know the minimum wage there?
I know the minimum wage. You did your Jesus. Okay. I won't go sleep.
I think minimum wage around that what's it called? But bottom line, let's cut to the chase. For me, I think the lady is being extra with our demands, and I wish her well. I wish her she sees another Ronaldo, that would that would love her for who she is and all her demands, and then she can have a baby in a mansion and in a dwala. Is it dwala that you said?
Yeah, she needs a dwala.
Dwala, yeah.
Yeah,
that dwala, and then she enjoys her life really. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has put a price on the streets for people to see. Yeah, so
now
anybody
would be surprised when one person would.
Yeah, no.
I mean, there's always going to be someone. Yeah,
it's the caliber. Someone. You know the funny thing about it? It's the caliber of people that you move around with, right? If I'm the way I am now, somebody that will come and give me, yes, I might appreciate 20,000 naira, but definitely I'm not going to be getting 20,000 naira for push out gift or something. But guess what? Someone else who's going to get that money is going to be down to earth appreciating you, right? But that's just the way it is. The people you relate with and the people in your own caliber are different. It might be silly. That's what I'm saying. Because when somebody, that's the reason why you are different, yeah? And most likely you cannot attract a lady like that. Do you understand? Even from the onset, the way you carry yourself, she'll most likely not even relate with you in the first place. But she has stated her own requirements.
Is,
and it's all good.
This one
if
is
if you can't meet
this,
it,
this one
move
is a,
along.
To me, this one is a rascal.
To me, self, if I push a baby and you're not giving 10 million naira.
I'm not even talking about
if you're not giving me, are you hearing? If you don't give me 10 million naira as I push the baby out, just status. I'm going to tell the doctor to put the baby inside my belly back. I'm going to start afresh. Go and get the 10 million naira first. Do you understand? Even before the baby comes out. Do you understand? Every month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. What do you mean? Do you know how hard it is?
Why
carry melon? Put two watermelons on your tummy and walk around the street.
No, but for real, it do be very traumatic, man.
Back
for
pain.
Women. Pregnancy is no joke.
The truth of the matter is that,
mm-hmm.
as much as I appreciate, the what's it called, the makeup of the women and all.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are wired to do that. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why, yeah. if what's it called, all this nuisance that comes and say, I feel like a woman, I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm. You
know, when people now, when they talk with their deep voice and they say, Mister, they say, no, I'm a woman, call me a woman. And I'm like, yeah, not serious. You think it's about you
it's
wearing skirts and what's it called?
It's not easy
the
being a woman.
The makeup of women is who they are, is what they're wired to do and all.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody is going to contest that with them and all, you know. But the moment you now begin to commercialize it, you know, it's like you're a sex hawker, telling them that this is my price.
No,
surrogate mothers, aren't they paid for what they do?
No, but
that's they're offering a service now.
And she's also offering a service. Yeah. I'm trying to give birth to your baby.
What this one did is that she's more like putting herself in a show glass.
Like,
this is the price.
Yeah. No, and listen, here's the thing. And this is my argument. I will go on quick on break when I say this, right? To each one of us, we've been given our labels, right? God has given each one of us our own specific labels. A man's labor is to toil the ground and work hard.
Even that one, they are saying, what you bring
relax
to the
now, relax now. Men, by now, God, have suffer. Been conscripted to toiling the ground and breaking their backs to be able to feed and put food on the table. That is a lot for the man. The lot for the woman, as how God has apportioned it, is to bear the child for the man and to serve the man. That is the lot that God has given to the woman. And like Rush has rightly said, the women are wired to go through it. Now, there's a reason why it comes with birth pains, the pangs that come with childbirth. That is the cross that women have to carry. Now, the same way a woman is sitting there and saying a man should lavish 200 million on her, 2,000 pounds on her, that money is not coming from the sky into the man's pocket, right? You've got the man working hard to be able to earn that amount of money. So you as a woman too, there's a role you are going to play too, as how God has apportioned it. That childbirth is going to be tough. That's how God designed it. So you trying to abscond from that responsibility and saying a man should pay you from carrying that responsibility, it still boils down to the lack of accountability that we always see that a lot of women display in modern times. They want to completely neglect the fact that this is the role that you're meant to play, and they don't play victim on it and ask to be compensated for playing the role that God designed for them in the first place.
Okay.
That's the angle I'm
Let me just
from.
Add two things. Number one, you just said the role of the man is to provide, is to till the ground. Now we are telling him to till the ground and bring money that will compensate for the hardship I just went through. But unfortunately now,
so
we are playing victim for
asking. It should not be compensation.
Two.
It's just something that comes out of love.
Yeah.
It's something that...
Also,
I don't
are
have
you
a
telling
problem.
Me 250,000 can't come out of love?
Me, I don't have a problem with as a man doing that for his woman. I don't have a problem with it. I feel like... In fact, a woman should not be asking it like a requirement.
Unfortunately, but we've gotten to a situation where we have
anything.
To ask.
We've not gotten anything.
See,
there are men who do that
today. Do you know,
their own volition.
So many ladies. Okay, for me now, I've been in situations where you don't say anything. You want to believe this person will use their initiative to figure that they are supposed to do something for you or to do it out of love. But guess what? You get nothing if you don't ask. Which we have to now imbibe the culture of asking, right? And that is where we are today.
So it's a manner of approach.
Because,
now, this is where you
yeah,
ask.
Definitely. Nobody is saying that I agree with the way she broadcasted or whatever. Yeah. Now, secondly, I've already forgotten my points.
Yeah, but let me
the Lord will bring it to me soon.
For me, like you said, I guess we probably need to go on a break, but. This relationship and this family dynamics, you know.
Yeah.
I think we have gotten to a point where we overanalyze, you know, and then there's less of, you know, actually, you know, doing, you know, in the sense that people want to talk how they want to live a relationship out. They want to talk it. You know, this is how it's supposed to be, this is how it's not supposed to be, da 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 and all. But the truth of the matter is that reality happens, you know. The man may intend to provide, and life happens, you know. He may have some what's it called, difficulties, you know, to go through and all, it is woman that will pick up the slack, you know. But I mean, the truth of the matter is that, you see, there's nothing that doesn't work without good understanding, you know, yeah, of one another. If there is good understanding of one another, people will not even know your business outside. You know, all this one, that this one is coming out and saying, naming your price, da da da, and everything. We've seen people that are very, that goes broke. You know, they go, I mean, completely broke, like, yeah, completely broke. They don't have what's it called, a dime to their name and all, you know. But we've also seen people that have gone bankrupt and also risen, you know, to the highest or, you know, levels in their life, you know, and all. Mm-hmm. I can name one, you know, off the cuff. But what I'm saying is that when, I mean, life happens, you know, and the real dynamics of, you know, I mean, the situation, you know, begin to present itself, you know, it is not going to be by, this is what I want from my man, or this is what, da da da. No, there's a lady that was talking, I mean, I was reading on Twitter, the lady put it up, and the guy, what's it called, the man was literally, you know, making his own money, collecting money from the woman, you know, I mean, I think the woman said it makes £2,500. $2, you know, a month. I know the man will make making demand like he needs $1,000, you know. And the lady was like, oh, I mean, I buy all this, you know, at home and all. These are the things that we always buy and all. These are the things that we've shared, you know, to buy and all. Where's your own money? You know, you make your own money to do all this. Why are you making demands on me? You know, because I want to buy stuff too and all. You know, I know. But the man is like, you know, I'm the man, you know, you have to give me that and everything. And the lady is now coming out like, why are you treating me this way, you know? Mm-hmm. And all. So this type of a family is kind of already fractured, you know? It's only a matter of time before it hits a brick wall,
yeah,
you know? But for me, what I'm just trying to say is that once there is good, what's it called, understanding, there is good camaraderie,
yeah,
the lady will not have to say one thing like that. Mm-hmm. There is a man too that I heard or I read during the week. The man said he only got just found out like 20 years later. The house rent that he's been paying, he just realized that it was wife that owns the house.
I always see stuff like that. I don't know if it's for real. Yeah. I don't know if it's true. But
when men don't want to drop money and you have to lose ties to collect the money.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
you know,
so for me, I'm just saying in a nutshell is that good musical communication, try and know the person that you are getting with. So that you guys will not have to be, you'll not have to be making some unnecessary demand like, this is what I want, da da da. Once it gets to that point, trust me, it's already beginning to look like, you know, a fractured situation that you guys will have to just keep patching up, you know.
Okay. To all those things, you most likely have to say it's during the dating,
so, it's
dating
good for
period.
You guys to talk about it. Really.
It's good to mention all those stuff. But the thing is, you know, a lot of men go online and they talk about what and what ladies should bring to the table and what they are demanding of ladies. Now, a lady has gone online
like,
to tell you,
like,
come and say this, so come and do
reach
this. Now, she's demanding. But you know, the funny thing is, it's all well and good, really. Everybody in its own self, I've seen people get push presents that are very small but very thoughtful, right? But the problem is, even when, because we've gotten to a point where some people don't even know what I cherish the most or what I want, even when I was stylishly,
this is
you know, because
know
some
cherish.
Ladies, what they do is they will stylishly mention.
Are you
something.
Talking about yourself or somebody?
No, there are things you obviously experience. There are things you obviously see people say. Now, say for instance, now I don't want to be the one to say, oh, go and get me this particular thing.
Yeah.
But I stylishly said it for the past maybe 3-4 months before my birthday, for instance. I'm using style to say it. You know, you can hear that I'm using style to say it. But then you are not even very attentive to me and thoughtful. So it has gone to a point where you just have to blot it out. This is what I need. And the funny thing is that even after you blot it out, somebody will go and collect, buy beef for you.
Are you outing somebody on this?
No, I'm not outing someone.
Okay,
it's things that have happened
just,
to you. And it's what a lot of
in general.
It's what a lot of ladies actually suffer from. That they now have to state those things out, which is sad. And there's some people where you see, you don't even need to go above and beyond. Just get something really thoughtful. You will see some things that are handmade, some things that are well done, and you see a woman just start crying all of a sudden after giving birth because she sees the thought. But nowadays, we've got to a position where we have to ask and demand fathers to be present in the birth of the children. So don't even think it is beyond to start telling people to give you push presents, because people will never think that. And then if you don't sit down here and ask, oh God, please, oh my, the father of my child, be present for my baby. They'll say they have ball that they want to watch, that is very important. So we've gotten to a point where the bar is low, so we need to just help them push the bar up. So we are helping them, please.
We need to help the men push the bar up and
Laika is very passionate about
be more thoughtful about the push gifts and the wallets, guys. We're going to go on a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be hitting up some of that trending topics for your listening pleasure. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Faceless. Hey there, fearless youth. Get ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery and empowerment.
Trust me, this isn't just an event. It's a game changer.
Here, our theme, Faithless, dives deep into the question that defines us all. Who am I?
Now, let me tell you about Goodbye.
Brace yourself for the wisdom bomb dropping from Pastor Obi, the electrifying vibes from Purity, soulful melodies of Inyombinga, the motivational genius Israel Uko, the spirit-lifting words of Pastor Josh, and the beats that will keep you moving by DJ Concept.
We'll be gathering at Foursquare Gospel Church, phase 2, site to Kubwa Abuja, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So mark your calendars, December 16th, 2023. Be there because we want you to be part of this incredible movement.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. This is what do we call this? We call it our Christmas special, end of year special episode. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we will be going on a quick break after this episode at the Fontaka Junction. I mean, we would like just relax and enjoy. It's been a long year, don't you think?
It's been a very tough year.
I mean, and we've been all through the year committed to, you know, coming to your ears for your listening pleasure week after week. You know, we said if we don't try now, so give us more accolades. but not to worry, we'll be back for the New Year's Eve special, the way we like to wrap the year and give our reflections on what has been a very interesting and long year, even as we look forward to a 2024 that holds a lot of promise.
I need to give a shout to not a shout really, I need to just what's it called, I think it's a shout really. This conference that is happening, this Faceless conference that is happening in Abuja, Foursquare Abuja, Kubwa. I mean it's for the youths, and it's organized by, you know, my very good friend, and that's our own way of, you know, giving back to
Faceless
society. It's calling on the youths to come out, you know, and learn, you know, leadership. You know, we've talked about leadership in Nigeria, and they've messed us up, you know. That's why we are where we are at right now.
That's why we are where we are.
The youth should come out, you know, and represent, you know.
When's it going to be? December 17th?
16th. Oh, that's, 16th. Next week. Is it
next
this week?
I think Saturday. It's this week, yes. It's coming Saturday.
Yeah, so guys should come out, you know, and
Foursquare.
Foursquare.
Abuja.
Kubwa,
Where is it? Kubwa? Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Kubwa and Abuja, if you're in the environs on the December 16th, come out and be a part of the Faceless Faceless program. All right, back to regular recording and studio and broadcasting. Something weird. Well, I won't say weird, sad and tragic. It should be weird, but it's happened a couple of times already in the past in our dear country. The Nigerian army successfully again bombed the life out of Nigerian civilians in the north. A certain village called Tundumbiri community in Kaduna have just experienced the worst kind of nightmare you can expect. They've been the casualty of a bombing by the Nigerian army during a routine reconnaissance check by the military. The Nigerian military have taken responsibility for this incident, and they've claimed it was a mistake, as the incident occurred inadvertently, contrary to what their thoughts were. The drone strike, the drone that delivered the bomb, the controllers had said that when they captured the activity from the bird's eye view of that community, they saw activity that looked like bandit activity, and that was why they unleashed the bomb, because they had been trailing terrorists for a while. So it was a case of mistaken identity where normal community people were thought to be bandits, and the bomb was dropped in that community. As of today, over 100 people have been recorded as casualties to that event. The chief of army staff paid a visit to the community where they tendered their unreserved apologies and asked for forgiveness from the community members for this travesty. But at this point, I mean, I just want to say that when things like this happen, and if it happens for the first time, you can say, you know, this is, you know, very unlucky, bad luck, and then you want to commiserate with the victims of this mishap. But this is not the first time that the Nigerian military are mistakenly bombing people in the north. Earlier in the year, a community in Yobe suffered similar incident. Last year, I think a community in Niger also had the same incident. In fact, over the last 4 years, there's been one incident at least in each year where the Nigerian army dropped bombs in communities in the north. I think at one point it was an IDP camp in the north that was bombed. A camp where internally displaced people were put together for shelter. The Nigerian army bombed that camp and said it was a mistake. The question that I have to ask at this point is, who is taking responsibility for this gross negligence? I mean, this is not a group of poultry we're talking about. These are actual human beings, lives being ended because someone has wrong information, or I don't even know how to classify how these kind of mishaps happen. Till today, we have not heard of any resignations. We have not heard of any strong actions being taken to any top-ranking official in the military, as it will serve as a deterrent to this incident. All we are seeing is apologies, and then some senators saying they've contributed their salary, their December salary, they forfeited their December salary so that the money can be given to the victims in Kaduna as a way of giving, you know, showing solidarity. I don't need your salary. I don't need your contribution. I need you to stop the Nigerian army from killing civilians without any cause. Like, how on earth is this even the discussion we're having in 2023?
The greatest democratic experiment, you know, so far so good. I mean a lot of people will disagree, you know, is America, you know, and their constitution was drafted by young guys. They were in their 20s, you know, that drafted the constitution, you know, and called it the Declaration of Independence, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But they were part and parcel of, they were very instrumental in the makeup of America. What am I trying to say? I'm just trying to say, like, you see, our leaders have failed us, you know, and I think it's high time to start looking inwards. I mean, and asking, what's it called, sincere questions, like, how can you be a part of, you know, I mean, the Nigeria that we all want to see. Really. And why I always say this thing, it feels like maybe I'm like a broken record, and the thing with it is that, you see, we have to see the growth of Nigeria as something that outlives us.
Yeah.
If you're always seeing, looking at it like, okay, it's the next 4 years, let's hope and see what Tinubu is going to do and all. Mm-hmm. I mean, Buhari should already give you a very, very good
an idea
why you don't want to live that way and all. You know, so everybody have to kind of look at themselves and ask, how do you want to, you know, be remembered, you know, as somebody that came out of Nigeria? You can run all you want. You can run. I mean, you're going to always be the next second citizen anywhere you go. Make all the money and all, you will be second citizen. That's just what it is. You know, it is only in Nigeria that you can look your, I mean, what's it called, anybody in the eye and tell them that it is my own land. I own it, you know, and all. You know, so those guys, I mean, the Nigerian, our military, it shows how disorganized and disjointed they are. If you can kill 100 and how many people? 160.
Over 100 people.
But yeah, if you can kill all of them at a go and you claim ignorance that you didn't know, it shows, I mean, can you even imagine what that means? The military that is supposed to be like, you know, the what's it called, chief security
as in,
of a sovereign nation. They are saying that they cannot recognize that those are their citizens and they killed all of them, you know, by mistake.
Oh my God.
I mean,
oh my God.
There are some things that we don't even need to talk about. And you talked about it. No resignation. There is nothing. The only thing that we're hearing, I'm sorry. If the chief of staff, or whatever, what is not chief of staff, the general, you know, I mean, that came out, or whoever is the spokesperson.
Yeah, the chief of army staff came out.
Chief of army staff. Yeah. If they killed him, or if he dies, you know, like that, you know,
yeah,
he should imagine himself dying and somebody killing him,
mm-hmm,
you know, without his own knowledge, without him doing anything, and somebody kills him. How does he feel? How does he want, what's it called, the person to be judged? That's the question.
Yeah.
You know, and I it is just sad. Sometimes you don't even really know how to talk about these things, really, because, I mean, how can you kill 160 people? Or more than 100, I mean, over 100, going to 200 people, and you say you didn't.
I mean, here we are. We are still battling with Lekki Tollgate, and who gave the order for the military to get to Lekki Tollgate and shoot people? Like, yeah, till tomorrow.
Shoot people, yeah.
You know, we had the Nigerian military practically gaslit, you know, Lagosians on that incident. Like, it was the craziest thing that I could have ever imagined, the way they went about, you know, the tribunal. And that should have given us, you know, just a bit of a preemptive, you know, look at what we are dealing with. Because if we have a full garrison that has sent out a battalion, they came to the Lekki Tollgate, they fired live rounds. Till today, we don't have one top-ranking official that we can hold and say, I gave the order. Is it now when they bombed people, that more people have died, that we'll be able to get someone to come forward and take responsibility? Obviously, no. So from the get-go, we already operate in a society where accountability is not a real thing. We don't hold our governors accountable. We don't hold our senators accountable. We don't hold our like we were saying, Resh, off the record, we have the Senate president, Akpabio, did his birthday. Yeah? And then he rented out a full stadium in Akwa Ibom. The Akpabio Stadium. The stadium is named after him. And I saw the entire stadium full of people. And they're all waving and cheering at the man as he was doing his victory lap around. He was jogging around the stadium waving. I'm like, if you're in a country where everybody's head is screwed on properly, Akpabio should be somebody that we should be hanging on the wall and asking him, how are you spending $165 million to buy a car? You are sending prayers to your colleagues every two business days. Meanwhile, the average Nigerian is suffering. Is that the person that went to go and do birthday in the stadium, full with people, everybody waving and cheering him on? So that's the problem we have already, where the people themselves are so delusional and so imbued in mediocrity that they don't understand what their rights are, and they don't understand what their priorities should be. They can't hold their leaders accountable. When they see these guys face to face, they melt because of the supposed power and wealth and influence that they have. And all they are thinking of is, let me shall collect something from him. If I can even just collect a few, 1 or 2 or 3 or 5,000 from him, I'll be happy. Instead of you to be hanging that person on the stake and telling him that everything that you have eaten that belongs to us, you vomited today, you are singing praises to him. And that's the syndrome that's affecting us right now. They call it the Stockholm Syndrome. It's affecting us across board. And that's why the military guy that came to that, that was at Tunubiri, was saying, you know, because of the gravity of the situation, that's why I came here myself. I came here personally to assess the situation and to say I'm sorry. So what should I do because you came yourself? I should be happy that you came yourself personally to a place where you guys have bombed over 100 people. The fact that you came physically to come and say I'm sorry is what should be my consolation?
Yeah, they should
really
be happy that you came.
I should be happy that you came personally? What the actual hell does that even mean? You know, and believe it or not, all those guys will be happy too and say, oh, I came. I owe big to you, Chief Minister. You actually came. You know, I will accept your apology. And then they'll even be waving for him as he's going by after your cousins and your brothers and your sisters have been bombed to smithereens. I mean, we really need to be able to desire and demand better for ourselves as a people, really.
Yeah. So I think seeing what they are... operation procedures are, it looks like it's non-existent to me. Well, their rules of engagement must be very funny, because how can you have your drones and you say, oh no, these people look as though they are bandits,
yeah,
so I want to blow them to smithereens. It's actually heartbreaking to see, because I would think that a lot of intelligence would go into saying the word go, right?
Yeah.
You're going to take giving that command. You have to be very strategic. And you, I think, even if you feel like you aren't getting enough information, you can't identify these persons. I don't think you're seeing them. Okay, yeah, they're acting funny. That's fine. Is there anybody going on ground to confirm that they are acting funny? Or is there any clearer picture you can get of them acting funny?
Yeah.
Before you administer before you give the go ahead. It's so crazy to me. And the funny thing is, there's some senator like that, Senator Yaradua or something. I saw a chairman of one committee on the army or something. And he was saying he doesn't call for the military to resign. He doesn't call for it. It is a mistake. And
really?
That people should actually, the community should actually inform the army of when they're going to have such gatherings. Do you understand? You know, so that, yeah, partly, maybe if they are in a hot zone, definitely seems as though you need to actually start announcing that. But can we call out the stupidity and the inefficiency?
Oh, wait, is there information on what they were doing? Or is it like, were they having like a party or something?
Was that?
They were
celebrating, I think, Malud or something. Someone was saying is the prophet's birthday. Or something.
Okay.
I can't remember. So yeah, it's crazy to see that it's not just one, at least four occasions that this has happened. And the funny thing is, there is still, although we have calculated up to about 400 people, over 400 people that have been killed by the Nigerian military.
Yeah.
There are still concerns that the numbers are way higher than that, at least 1,000. And it's heartbreaking to see, really, because I can't even fathom why this can be excused, why nobody is being court-martialed, why nobody at the very least is called to resign. And the funny thing is, none of these victims are even compensated. So I'm telling you, when these people are saying, hey,
no,
we are them, going to... No,
they're giving them 58
no.
million.
No, when these people...
They gave them 58 million today, yesterday. Also.
No, I'm not talking about... I'm talking about prior cases.
Oh, okay.
Like, none of them were compensated. And the funny thing is, when they say, oh, no, we want to drop our salary so we can pay the medical bills and make sure that their life is, you know, worth living or can be lived well... It's really silly to me, really, because I don't care. Do you know how many? Divide the casualties by 50. Not to talk about the injured, because the injured is about 66,000. Yeah.
You cut on the calculation.
Yeah? As in,
on the calculation.
You're not giving anything. if it's 58 people that died, yeah, then you say okay, 1 million per, which is still stupidly low. Imagine having a high casualty like that. So somebody, each home is going on with maybe like 400 to 500.
That 58 million, is it bullshit. Final? Is it the final? Is that the final?
Net taxes and other charges.
No, I mean, is that all they are contributing to them?
Yeah, don't forget that.
That's more.
58 million is media
on the book.
8 million.
If you did less than nothing, that, in terms of cash
exactly,
in hand,
exactly, cash in hand, most likely 20k.
Yeah, damn.
So it's very silly to see, and I when I heard it, I'm like, again, like seriously, it's within the same year. I don't even know at this point. I feel like the Nigerian military has most likely killed more innocent civilians than the bandits that they are even looking.
Yeah, I might not even be surprised.
Because at this point, it's looking like that, really. And it calls to question, yes, I understand, yeah, we need funding, we need this, we need that. But don't we need common sense at the best? We understand that these guys are doing a lot of work, yeah? But there is a lot to go. There's a lot of, how do I put it? There's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of burden. It's a human life. Even having one casualty is a lot. Not to talk about killing hundreds of people.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
That's the reason why these guys, you know, I mean, I was watching that, I think it was a Zambian president, the one that just came in. He was talking to his mayors that they said they wanted to buy jeeps and all. And the guy was a very reasonable man, you know. I was asking them, like, what do you need a jeep for? Like, you're not even talking about, what's it called? All these Hilux and all. You want a, like, a what's it called?
An SUV.
A celebrity, you know, I mean, type of jeep that costs $200,000, you know. And it was asking them, like, your own constituency, you could build public toilets, you know, for all the constituency. And maybe you still have, what's it called, some money left and all. Where am I going with it? If a leader doesn't think like that, you know, about their people, you know, they don't have any reason to lead anybody. And these guys that we have leading us, majority of these guys that we have leading us, even the Labour Party, we said it last week, you know, one of the Labour Party, what's it called, senators, you know, she was talking on TV and she was like, oh, Nigerians don't really know how tough it is to be a senator. Nigerians really don't know how tough it is, you know. I mean, being a senator
Try
is a very, very,
mass,
you guys don't
masses.
Even know. We walk all around the clock.
Oh, wow.
You know, we sign papers and we walk around the clock. Oh, and I'm,
when somebody's out of touch.
Yeah, and I'm asking myself, like, you see, there is a difference between when you are walking and when people cannot see what you're doing. You know, it's a different when you come out and say, this is what we have been doing, we have been working, and people cannot feel anything. What people have been seeing now is that you guys are, what's it called, sharing jeeps amongst yourself, 160 million, what's it called, naira each. That is just one of the many, what's it called, perks that you guys are getting, that you guys are sharing. And you guys don't, I mean, so are these people now the ones that are going to call the security apparatus to question when these guys are busy enriching themselves? And I mean, I think what these guys said, the rent-seekers, what's it called, rent-seekers, you know, mentality.
Yeah.
You know, where you just amass wealth in public office, you use the taxpayers' money to live lavish. And mm-hmm. That's why that, what's it called, general, was saying it as a matter of, you know, what's it called?
Like a huge thing he has done.
Huge favor.
He came by himself. Who are you, for crying out loud? Who the heck are you? Who even cares who you are, for crying out loud? Your life is as, what's it called, special as those people's life that they got killed, you know, recklessly, you know, and all.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it is very, very, I'll keep saying it. I mean, Nigerians, we need to begin to look at ourselves as the solution. You see, go run for office, support, you know, people that you know that are going to do right, you know, people that you can call to question and all. If your, what's it called, your family is, it's a difficult thing to do anyway, because if people have suffered, you can imagine, if people are really, 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 really suffered, by the time they see small money,
yeah,
trust me, you'll be like, well, I beg, let me just cruise, man. Yeah.
To be fair,
you know, I've done my own, I've done my suffer. Yeah. Let me now eat my own money. I know that's the way it is, but yeah, it's a defeatist mentality, you know, when you always think like, you, I've made it out, you know, I better pass my neighbor, I've made it out, you know, let everybody else go and, I mean, fend for them, so let everybody go do and do the suffer and all. You are just a casualty waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You will see one day, monkey go market. I know go come back. That's what they say. monkey open market. No,
while we're on that, let's take on to the issues in the north, in the northern part of the country, and we'll take it all together because I saw something else that blew my mind. Zamfara state government, apparently, they have recovered over 50 cars from the former governor of Zamfara state, Governor Matawalle. Apparently, you know, when the elections were concluded and Zamfara state got a new government, there was a lot of rancor that the governor, outgoing governor, had carted away all the official vehicles in the state government and taking them to his house. And there was a lot of back and forth around whether the vehicles belonged to him or to the state. And then the court eventually ruled that those were state property, following which, after the ruling, they recovered the vehicles. And the news is that they are still recovering even more.
Okay, so those jeeps that they bought for those guys, these new jeeps now,
yeah,
it is state property.
It's state property. Okay. Yeah, the plan is you can't take it home.
Okay.
So I mean, it's not like I see, and this is probably a case of maybe just political rancor and internal friction, because I can probably bet you that a lot of governors take those vehicles. They take those vehicles home scot free when they are done. But in this case, it became a very big deal, and the court ruled and they got the car back. And for me, I think it's just crazy because, again, down to what you talk about when it comes to leadership and the people that find themselves in leadership position in this country today, at what point does it make sense to you to even, first of all, acquire so many vehicles? I mean, I saw a glimpse of those vehicles. A lot of them were exotic cars. Why does the state government need this kind of exotic cars, first of all? And secondly, why would you even want to take those vehicles home? Over 50. And I saw this, the press spokesman for the current Zamfara state government was saying that, how can a right-thinking person even imagine that this is something that you want to be doing as a governor?
Do you know how many people, oddlies that rose with a senator, just one senator, and then now multiply them by the rest of all the senators that you have. These guys are living like,
like crown princes.
Yeah, like, you know, like they got the throne and then they have to be worshipped and all. And Nigerians are majorly part, they are contributory, you know, to most of all these things, you know, and all. And it's a mentality that we have. And that's why we can't call Sanwo-Olu to order. I mean, we can't call Sanwo-Olu to question, not necessarily to order, to question. You know, we can't call the president to question and all. The only thing, you know, that is separating us from, the guys that are in the, these elected officials, they are separating us from them, is that we don't have any affiliation or any connection to them. If we have any affiliation or any connection to them, trust me, I can promise you, you won't be on this podcast. You won't be on this podcast saying all these things. As a matter of fact, you'll be looking at us like, these guys don't really understand.
What's going on?
They don't really understand. They need to really feel, like that senator was saying, we need to be here to feel what we are going through, to feel how many documents we needed to sign, you know, and all. And it's very sad. But for me, I just feel like, you know, there is nobody that's coming to save us. We should just get that out of the way. We have to lay our bed. We have to lay our bed, you know, the way we want to lie on it, you know. And then if we don't lay it well, trust me, we're not going to sleep well. That is why bombs can come flying in the middle of the night and killing 160, if not more than that, going on 200 people.
Yeah.
You know, and all. And the governor that has 50 cars, they should ask us how many developments had gone on in that, you know, in that state, to measure up for all the cars that he has. When a senator can be saying, like, you know, that it was Shane Woki that was asking the senator, like, this 160 million on Jeep. How are you guys now? How is it that that's what you guys are focusing on? And the senator was like, you don't even know the way our roads, Nigerian roads, is. the senator. That is supposed to be like on top of the matter, like fixing Nigerian roads. Telling what's it called? That you don't even know.
Like he's complaining. Yeah. Why are you complaining to? Who is going to fix it?
we live in a very dynamic society, you know, and we've seen like P&G, Procter and Gamble has left.
Yeah.
Quite a number of big corporations.
GSK, P&G,
Sanofi. They pulled out of, you know, Nigeria. Some people said, no, they are not pulling out. They just went and then they are not going to be shipping their, goods here. No?
Importing them.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, when they cannot produce here, give employment to Nigerians and all. But what they've just been just be making.
That's worse now. Shipping off is worse because it's like importing is like.
So, I mean, there is a lot that is going on in Nigeria, a whole lot that is going on in Nigeria, you know. But I pray that, you know, things will, start looking up, things will start working out. We will start to see ourselves, you know, as the solution, because the English man will not come and save us. The Chinese man will not come and save us. The only reason why they are here is to make money for their own economy, for their own country, you know, and all.
What you just said was interesting to me, because as some popular Twitter influencer, Danny Walters, I think he went to South Africa, and, you know, he's just been, you know, let us rest since he goes to South Africa, right? He's been posting pictures and he's just been in love, he's falling in love with South Africa, and you know, and he's literally said, and everyone has agreed with him, that South Africa today is a result of the white man having a longer time to actually spend and develop that place. A lot of South Africa that is currently working is as a result of all of the infrastructure and planning that the white men did in there. And you know that today we see that white guys who live in South Africa.
So that's the
benefit.
Did you say you still have white guys in South Africa? They are the money bags of South Africa.
Yeah. So South Africa benefits from all of that influence. And it's like, maybe Nigeria got dependence a bit too early. Perhaps we should have waited a bit for these guys to stay longer, because we've made a mess of everything.
Yeah, we've talked about it before now, you know. But I mean, I just can't imagine myself being slapped around, you know, by the colonial masters. But we are living good, really. But
at this point, which would you prefer,
really? That's the thing.
You have your fellow black man running things, but you are still a slave in your own country.
These black guys are actually even worse.
Yeah.
They are not building anything. They are not doing anything. They are just enriching themselves and all. And they are also making life miserable for the... No, enriching themselves. They make life miserable for the people, you know, and all. So for me, I'm going to keep saying it.
But yeah.
I hope somebody hears me, you know. But I'm sure that at least one person can actually use it as motivation, you know. And that is that, you see. We are not going to, there is no boogeyman that is coming to save us. There is no boogeyman to blame. We are always going to keep, you know, the focus on ourselves. If you look at the mirror, you will see down the line, maybe your uncle or your friend's friend that knows your friend's friend that knows Tinubu and all, they are there, you know, egging them on, telling them to go ahead, you know, they are the best thing after sliced bread, you know, they are doing, you can imagine what they will be telling Buhari and all, and they're wrecking the economy.
Yeah.
They made a mess of the economy and all. Now this is where we are at and all. I wish that Emir Philip, you know, spend the rest of his life, you know, in jail, really. But then also you just ask yourself, like, to what good does that make? If somebody is going to come and destroy something more and then make life more miserable for the people, because people don't learn. We don't learn. It's just a scapegoat now and all. It's not like they're doing anything, you know, necessarily to right what is wrong about our country and all and everything, you know. But one of the things that I'm going to, hope to say is, I believe that the next year that we're going into is going to be good for Nigeria, for everybody. I'm hoping that we all will see ourselves, you know, as part of the solution, as the only solution, not just part of it, the only solution to our problem, and we'll begin to actually work, you know, I mean, at what's it called, making that, you know, I mean, making that happen, really, you know, and all.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's just I mean, it can be tiring, you know, talking about all these things, really.
Because, sounding like a broken record.
Yeah, because you know, like, things can actually work in this country, you know, but why it is just the way it is, you can't really, you know, I mean, comprehend. You can't really, you know, and all. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I like any final notes, words on the matter.
Yeah, it's just actually more on the bombing. I would just say it's actually sad to see that the masses are most likely more scared. They are fairly scared of both the government and the bandits, because now it seems they have two enemies that they have to be wary about, and it's a sad occasion. I understand that these things do happen even in the developed nations. We have incidents like that where civilizations are blown to smithereens because there was one or two misjudgments. It's fine, but we also need the government to actually, you know, call these people to question. Whoever was the one that pushed the order out should actually be called to question, to actually have at least one or two repercussions, because if there is no if there is no punishment whatsoever for these misdeeds, it will most likely occur again, and there will be another fifth occasion, sixth occasion, and so on like that. So I've heard that the Vice President Shettima has actually called he has admonished people and also stated that there should be an investigation into the matter. Hopefully it is taken with seriousness. Then as regards our wonderful governors and past governors, I mean, it's not a new thing, unfortunately, for people to embezzle funds and also steal from the government. So I just feel like there is still more coming from the 50 cars, and that's if they're going to see that,
if they're going to
show us that part, most likely it's out of 100 we are getting 50, but most likely it'll be like this guy that we're still recuperating the funds even 20-50 years after the fact. I just hope that we can be accountable. I understand that most of these cases where they start outing one or two, outing themselves, is really most likely out of spite. It's not like as if there's this war on corruption. But I'm hoping that's the case here. The governor there, the present governor there, has been like sounding like more of an humanitarian. But yeah, it's
don't
good
they
to
all
see.
Do. They all do. Yeah,
they do.
But this guy is trying, Sha. So far so good. At least I've heard good.
Who's that? The current governor. Alex Otu, Abia State Governor. We'll see.
So far, so good.
Yeah, so hopefully people are called to question and we can actually blow out and fight corruption one step at a time.
Fight corruption one step at a time.
They said Alex Otu, but they said he spent more money on refreshment than
that one, ever since the whole Lagos State budgeting blew up, all of a sudden all the state governments started seeing their budgets. So everyone is throwing numbers around now. And we don't know what it is. We just hope that at the end of the day, these governors will serve the people. That's the most important thing. They are there to serve the people, not to lord it over them. Guys, that's as much time as we've got at the junction today. We gotta go. We do hope you enjoyed the episode. End of the year special. We'll be back in the on New Year's Eve as we wrap up the year and we talk about our highlights for the year and what we're looking forward to going into 2024. Till then, we hope that you stay jiggy, stay fresh, stay alive, and I wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy celebration from us at the Junction. We're signing out. We're gonna catch y'all later. Peace.
Yeah.